out.
We might as well call the meeting to order. Jay, you can call the attendance, but as noted, everyone is here. Welcoming Mr. TJ Briggs.
Thank you, sir.
Anna Joe, Richie, and Carl, and I. Could we move to approve the minutes as presented at our April 18th meeting?
Make a motion to approve the April 18th minutes?
Yes.
Second.
Moves? Second?
I think I was absent from, I think it was one meeting I had to miss it, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to clarify whether it's okay to approve minutes.
It is.
Different people say different things.
The clerk says you can. The chairman says he likes to write read only next to his name.
Okay. All right. So I will, anyway, yes. When it goes around, I'll put read only.
Okay, in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Resolutions that we have before us. The first one is Resolution 176. We've had several meetings on it, setting a public hearing on a proposed local law number 4 of 216. A local law amending local law number 5 of 1991, adopting the hotel and motel room occupancy tax to update the law's application to short-term and vacation rentals to be held on Tuesday, June 21 at 7:10 p.m. I'd like to have some discussion on this because we've been beating it around a while. So I hear difference of opinions.
I'll move it for discussion.
Thank you. Moved and discussed.
Can I ask a question?
I forgot about that, TJ.
Can I ask just a quick question?
Yep.
Why is it the 21st? Isn't that our meeting night?
Because caucus night, you're over at the college.
Oh. So you don't have the public hearing at the college?
You have the public hearing on the budget over there.
So this is going to be session night. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Let me just say this. I've been thinking about this a lot because, to me, there's no question that we have to, something is wrong. As Dr. Henry Lee said in the O.J. Simpson trial, something wrong. Some people are paying, some people aren't paying. We get notices that it's legal, that you can do it. Other folks say there's no mechanism in this through state law or state guidelines or procedures to do it. I've been thinking about it a little bit, and you know, if you buy something out of state, by law you're supposed to pay the sales tax on it. Who do we pay it to? Somebody. So I think I'd like to vote to move this forward for a public hearing. And let's see what the public has to say. I was going to bring some folks in and have a discussion. And I know, quite frankly, part of the thing that I've always been a stickler with, or in my own mind anyway, was let's get it right so we don't have to go back and amend it and go back and have another public hearing. And yet, last week, we passed a resolution about a trail that may have to be condemned and may not have to be condemned. We passed that resolution for, I think, a public hearing. We don't know. So consequently, I don't feel so bad letting folks speak their mind.
I agree.
Now, I'm looking over the resolution again for the local law, and there's a lot of amendments. Were they made between our last meeting and this meeting?
We talked about this in Democratic Caucus last week. Those were all technical and formatting track changes. The exact substance is the same as it's been for the last 2 months. It's just whatever version was submitted last go-round, when I had some tweaks, it got a little bit jumbled, and some of the sections were coming across differently. But again, the what had already been taken out as far as the revenue sharing back to the towns, that was already gone 2 months ago. So everything here is just track changes, just for clarity.
Right, like Section 7,
that's
been out.
Yep.
I mean, I agree that there's an inequity of taxation among motels and hotels who do have to pay their share of the bed tax, and rentals like this don't. And I know we talked about Airbnb as being like the biggest area where this law would cover. What is the limitation on vacation rentals? Up to 3 months, no registration and tax?
Permanent residence up to or beyond 90 days. Yes, yeah, so 90 days, 3 months. Do not pay tax.
Okay, so 2 week rental, summer rental, is this law would not affect that?
It affects that.
Oh, it does affect that.
Yes. It does affect them. It doesn't affect them over 30. Over 90 days.
Right, it doesn't affect over 90 days.
I see.
Like if it's a family renting for a year or two.
I understand. Okay. I mean, that's my least favorite part of this, is the vacation rental.
What this whole law is geared towards.
Well, I think it's geared to Airbnb. I mean, some
people
have... Well,
that's vacation rental.
Well, some people have... there's a lot of ways of Airbnb. Some people have a cottage on their property that they're renting.
But that would
count. They don't live
here.
In it. No, I understand that. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Or a room in their house.
Right, or they go to Europe for a year, and they're just participating in Airbnb to get the most money out of their rental.
I
think you can't please everybody in this law, and I think that it's going to be hard to round up all the vacation rentals and short-term rentals. What's the process of doing that? How? I mean, you know about the Airbnbs because they're advertised, but you don't know about the vacation rentals.
May I try to answer that in my own feeble way?
Okay.
You know, there's a speed limit through Boyceville at 55 miles an hour. A lot of people go 60. Every so often, somebody gets caught. Well, they get caught. The rest of them maybe will. I don't think we have to have every answer for everything. I mean, quite frankly, Carl, I'd rather do away with the motel, the bed tax.
Right.
That would go make it all go away. Maybe that's what will come out of this. I don't want to make it onerous. As Richie said, up where he goes a lot in Cape Cod, people rent their houses, and that's a huge part of the economy, and they're constantly out in the gas stations and the restaurants and the swimming places. But we might as well move forward and let's hear what the folks have to say.
Absolutely. As much as we think that the residents of this county and other counties have their finger on the pulse of all our local laws, they do not.
No.
And there are going to be a lot of non-compliance, I believe, with vacation rentals because simply they don't know. Would there be some kind of vehicle to, let's say, slip in a note on everyone's property tax bill?
But
state, this new local law, boom, boom, boom. This is, you know, because that's getting everybody in a total blanket. Then there's no reason to cry, I didn't know about the law, or something like that. We can't afford a mailing, you know, of 187,000 residents, or I don't know how many homes there are.
Well, there's, Carl, that's no
so
different than the public
well,
hearing for a dog registry or a breeder. You know, we're not going to, you know, it's in a newspaper, it's advertised. But is it still
2%? Yeah.
And can I ask you a quick question? Is there any monies? I didn't read all the different the amendments, but for the changes, is there any money to register with the county?
No,
there's no money. I mean, it's not $100 a year. And then okay, but like Airbnb, the person that's doing the renting pays Airbnb, and then Airbnb
sends a check.
Sends a check. So that's easy to keep track of.
Right.
I thought that's not the way it can go.
That's Airbnb.
Well, I thought that wasn't legal.
That's
well,
Airbnb.
They think it can.
We like to think it is.
Yeah. They may not send the check to you, but at least to the county, it may still be up to the person, but you can track it.
No, but we're in the process of having a serious conversation with Airbnb corporate where they will meet the compliance end
right.
of this.
They'll just
law.
Take 2%.
So the burden wouldn't be on the individual property owner as the renter. It would be on corporate Airbnb to comply on behalf of the folks that they represent. And then it could lead into other sharing economy renters, such as vacation rental by owner,
right,
flip key.
Because those people pay directly to homeowner.
Right.
So
but that's a different issue.
Well, it's not a different
it's
issue.
Different, it's the same issue. It's
same,
a different
right.
procedure.
And what happens is somebody goes on Airbnb, goes to your house, they like it, they just call you from now on and say, I want to come. And then do you pay the tax if it's not gone through an official thing? Who knows? You're not going to get 100% of everybody, but at least it somewhat tries to level the playing field.
And as far as where you're getting at, the legality of a third party coming in and collecting and remitting these taxes, Airbnb told me last week that they are in final discussions with a county to be named very, very soon, who is about to take them up on this voluntary collection agreement. And we did hear rumblings at the last, GFOA conference about a month or so ago that this was inevitable.
You mean to do what we're doing?
Yeah, that a county
is we're doing.
In the works, that they are beating us to it right now.
And we'll be speaking about this this week, on Thursday at the New York State Association of Counties at their finance school. And what it means for us, quite honestly, based on some of the projections that we're looking at as a county, is it means an additional $250,000 in revenue. Again, it's a paradigm shift. We're changing the way we do business in the vacation industry. This is a real move towards the sharing economy. And why not participate in it as a county from a bed tax vantage point?
And that money goes into the general fund?
No. It's specifically for tourism promotion.
Oh, okay. Great. That's even better.
Rich?
I'm going to support going to a public hearing, but I don't particularly personally don't think going into tourism is a good use of the money. What I'd like to see is, there's people that used to rent to families that are now not renting long term because they can make more money. Airbnb, I'd like to see this money go towards housing. Workforce housing, family housing, because there's a lot of people that can rent it out 1 week a month and make the same amount of money renting it to somebody in there with three kids or two kids for a full month, and they don't have to deal with, the wear and tear on their buildings. And the stock of housing available for rent in the Woodstock areas, the Marbletown areas, people can't, unless you can afford to buy a house, you can't live in some of these communities anymore. So in order for me to support the final version, that money's going to have to go towards some sort of a fund for housing to keep people here.
Well, as far as I know, the county doesn't have any, and doesn't own any housing. They contract with people to house.
No, but the 250,000 estimated, right, instead of going into tourism so we could do more commercials or do more pamphlets or more brochures, maybe we should put it towards towns, give towns incentives to do some sort of housing. Firemen, maybe it can go towards, Marbletown, a lot of these communities, the firemen can't afford to live in the communities they serve. Maybe we can do housing where they can help them buy a lot or help them buy a modular house. I don't know. I'm thinking out loud. But to me, that's a better use of the money than going in a tourism budget, because what's going to happen is the tourism budget's then going to be cut by $250,000, and that's just going to get spent on something else.
In relation to that, I can remember at one of our sessions when Briggsy here got all in an uproar when some guy said, I rent it to students, and I can get more money from students. This was about the dormitories going up. You want to wind up like Ellenville, where I have to rent it to a family?
Yeah, he rents it to students for about $40,000 a year.
And that's sort of what I, not to put words in your mouth, but
they ought to be charged.
And do you remember that, Tommy?
Yeah.
It goes, you want me to be like, oh, no, I'm
going, holy mackerel. The guy was making about $40,000 a year on a two-family in New Paltz because he rents to, like, eight students, and he gets roughly, $4,000 for the year per.
The kids might be in there. Right. Did you want to say something, Evan?
I just wanted to clarify. As far as where the monies are going, the greater of 10% or $150,000 is going toward tourism. The rest is going to the general.
That's total bed tax collection. That's specific. Just
but then these monies just get rolled up into all.
I mean, depending on the outcome of a hearing and where it goes, I kind of like some thought of what Richie's talking about. Tourism gets their money. And a certain percentage of the bed tax was supposed to go to tourism anyway. from the original 1991 legislation. So, I mean, something we need. We, you know, even if it was ambulances or something, I don't think it has to go right back at this point. So,
last year, a gentleman came into the general meeting and spoke at public comment. He's from my town. He lived in a boarding house called the Hummel Home on Salem Road, down in Silvers. You know, and he talked about how the living conditions weren't great there, and that there, I don't remember how many people the house was certified for, but they were overcrowded. There were more than what they were, and boom, boom, boom. So I looked in, you know, and I talked to the county executive's office, and I said, you know, this house makes about $245,000 a year in contracts from the county. You could buy two houses for that, and they're not doing anything to renovate them. And they told me that the county has a total shortage of low-income housing. They have a total shortage. They can't put people in housing from social services or for Social Security disability recipients. They just don't have it. I could see money being used for that, but I can't see the county getting into the housing market, per se.
No, I'm not advocating buying houses.
Yeah, maybe incentives like lowering a tax liability for a builder to come and build a project.
But these Airbnbs and vacation rentals are making that problem worse.
Right.
Well, let me just say that...
$245,000 for a one-family house, that's a lot of money.
So legislative parity brings up an issue that is a discussion that we're going to have tomorrow with the town supervisors, and that's specific to how these Airbnbs operate. It's one thing when I'm a homeowner and I rent out a bedroom and a bathroom in my house for Airbnb. It's another thing when I'm an investor and I buy properties like you're referring to specifically to go into the Airbnb business.
There's a lot of that.
That's what impedes the housing market, as you said. And we thought, and it was, this was a conversation with Dennis Doyle from planning, that the respective towns can then pass ordinances, home rule ordinances, prohibiting those investor Airbnb locations, encouraging the homeowner to do it, but prohibiting. And again, that becomes a local issue. Originally, when we wrote this legislation, we thought that it would be in our best interest to return a portion of the monies back to the towns for code enforcement, you know, and that was struck.
And because that's opening up another entire can of worms, and
so if we,
serious one.
I think that there's some great dialogue, though. I think that there's opportunity here, too. I think the first thing we need to do is get over the hump of allowing the bed tax to be placed on Airbnbs, and then going back and letting the towns figure out how they want to institute it.
But if the money's going in a general fund, there's no solution for the
towns.
But
you guys are the legislating and appropriating body of the county.
But
you can agree with that.
But to me, it should be, we should know where the, in my opinion, we should know where the money's going before we pass a law. Because once it goes someplace, it never gets changed.
Right. You mean dedicated?
Dedicated.
Yeah, right. Once it goes in the general fund,
you took the quarter of $1 million and put it in the controller's office, but, you know, we'll sacrifice that for the good of the county.
What about you going on another conference next week?
Well, I'll say one thing. I understand what Richie is saying, but I don't think there's a lot of people that are renting a house in Woodstock that's taking any low-income housing away from anybody.
I agree with you.
So the theory that we're renting a house in
I'm not necessarily saying low-income.
No, hold
These
on.
These are families that
hold
can't
on.
Afford a home or
right.
they've credit
and that
issues.
Same
but
family
they don't have
that,
jobs.
That house that's it's like you go to Dennis, you know, Massachusetts. That house that's getting rented for $4,000 for the week up there, there's no family that's going to live there anyway unless they have a lot of money. So, and if they've got a lot of money, they're going to go get a house somewhere else. So the theory that because we're renting houses through Airbnb or whatever you may want to call it and is taking away affordable housing, to me, is ludicrous, because those areas that are being rented are usually high rent districts, if you allow me to utilize that term. Now, that being said, is there a need for low-income housing? Yeah, I think there is, but just be mindful when you stand up in the middle of a town meeting and say the word low-income housing, and then either duck or make sure you have full body armor on, because people get, you know, I see it in my community. You mentioned low-income housing, And the only thing people say is, enough with the bloody low-income housing, because what does it bring in? And to the answer to the question of social services, the reason you can't get enough people with social services to rent those houses, because they freaking destroy them. Or they make so much money from them that they allow them, and we have that in our community, I won't mention landlords, we have that in our community, they make so much money on it because they pay so much, and then about once a year, you'll see it I've got one across the street from me. About every 4 months, it's vacant. And the guy spends a month fixing it, and then it's rented again. So anyway, my point is, my extremely long story, I apologize, but is that those areas where those houses are being rented are not house areas that we have to worry about somebody not affording to rent a house.
Well, okay, I don't want to debate the darn thing, but I can easily see situations where in my community, both in Olive and Marbletown, they don't want them kind of people. And so where do they go? They go to Kingston from up there. And some of the places they buy, they keep jacking the price of a house up. And some of the low-income people, could be one of my grandchildren that's making $30,000 or $40,000 a year that needs a starter house. I always talk about my granddaughter. She got a degree. She's making $40,000 a year, $1,000 a month for life. Student loan, which is her fault, not mine or yours. And so anyway.
Come to Ellenville. We got a lot of great houses, affordable housing. You can buy a house cheap.
Go ahead,
great
Rich.
Houses.
You mentioned Dennis, Massachusetts. You go up in that area, which is very wealthy.
Afford to drive up there.
Yeah, well, it's not that bad. But when they want to do subdivisions, they have requirements they've got more programs for people with income limits and students and single mothers or single fathers. They have more programs, Habitat for Housing, that builds nice, affordable. They can, you know, if you live in them, when they want to sell it, they can only make 2% a year profit. So, you know, the Ulster County has zero. We have none of it. And so, I don't know. And another thing, Cape Cod, Massachusetts, doesn't have a 2% tax if you rent your house out. And we're not really a destination area, Ulster County. So, you know, you hope it doesn't affect us losing people to areas.
Okay.
Call the question.
Move the question.
Sure.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
If I may, I just want to comment that I have reservations, but I certainly want to hear what people think at public hearings.
Such a waste.
Yep.
To me, tourism and general fund might as well. It's just a waste of money.
The next resolution, as amended, we need a motion, I guess, when we start to discuss it. It's been amended, and where is it in here, Jay?
On the first page at the bottom.
The dark resolved on the bottom. The Ulster County Commissioner of Finance shall allocate and disperse to the City of Kingston its proportionate share of sales tax within 7 business days after receipt of each net sales tax collection received by the county, and be it further.
Okay, I'll move it with the amendment.
Second. Discussion on the amendment.
I know that was a big issue.
Pardon?
I know that was a big issue. Legislator Donaldson had brought up last week. So I'm glad it's in there. I don't think there would have been any reason to hold up their sales tax receipts, but.
Can I just say something?
Absolutely.
Because I believe you're correct. But do you know, 1,000 years ago in Olive, they get the check for taxes from the City of New York, and Lou Kirshner would intercept that check and put it in his savings account, you know, the county.
Right.
Until Olive read the law and said it has to come to them, and they put it in their savings account and got the interest on it. So when somebody's looking to portion control, sometimes they will do things like that. Okay. Now, to move the resolution as amended for discussion.
So moved.
So moved, seconded?
I seconded.
Okay. Open for discussion.
Mr. Chairman, could I just?
Yes.
This is the timeliness of payment clause that's going into the language of the law or in the resolution?
In the resolution.
Resolution.
The only thing that was brought up also, and just this is for your edification, we looked at a series of.
Now, who brought this up last night, Elliot?
No, we were discussing in our office.
Okay.
We looked at a series of agreements over the course of the last 20 to 25 years, sales tax agreements. And the other thing that we saw back in 1986 that sort of lost its way as the agreements moved forward was the obligation to negotiate with a timeline. And I just throw this out there to you, basically saying that within 6 months of expiration date or 3 months of expiration date, that there's an obligation on both party side, the city side and the county side, to negotiate. I don't think we would be in the position that we were in today if that obligation to negotiate was in there. So I'm just putting it out there. It's from 1986 original agreement, but it lost its way as the agreements were.
Yeah, I could see a problem with that, like this year in the city where there was a mayor and then not a mayor and then a new mayor, and who knows where it would have gone. But it's just like labor contracts. They start the last minute that you know they're looking for trouble.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that can be...
Just something I want to throw out. You know, we're reading and reading and reading, and all of a sudden we saw this lost its way. I don't know if there was a reason behind it back in the, I think, the 91 or 92 renewal, but it was silent to the obligation to negotiate on the part of both the city and the county. And... you know, I'm not an attorney.
We can ask that question.
On the real property, sales tax law, there is language that talks about the obligation to notify the parties if there's a change in sales tax sharing. So you may want to ask the attorney. I just put it out there.
TJ, for discussion?
Do we know if the city, the way Dave spoke the other day, the city was going to turn this, the city council was going to turn this down? Do we know? I mean, we're voting on something in agreement with the city.
I agree with you.
We don't even know if the city wants it.
I agree with you.
I think we got the cart before the horse here.
I agree with you.
Dad?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, Madam.
I'll sit over there next
time. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. This is better this way.
I just want to say that I'm going to go to the Association of Town Supervisors and Mayors in the morning just to hear their discussion on it, because this came out, I guess, after their last meeting, so they haven't discussed it. I did call around. There doesn't seem to be any opposition, but you never know. So I will just keep my finger on the pulse. And
well, TJ in particular was talking about the city.
Yes.
They haven't voted. The towns.
I mean, the thing that I brought up with the town of Warsaw, I even said it in chambers, is that, you know, the villages and the towns supported the city. And
yes.
The city, you know, gets, they have 15% of the population, they get 80% of the tax revenue, which covers about 30% of their overall tax bill. The towns and villages get, you know, have 85% of the population, and they get a pittance, and it covers about 4% of their tax bill, and yet they sided with the city. To me, there's strength in numbers, and they should have gone on their own and said to the city, essentially, the hell with you. We should be getting more. Just because the city doesn't know how to police itself financially, and they're in dire straits, and I think they got bad direction from a certain town supervisor in the town of Ulster area, but I don't want to name his name, and so they went that way, which to me is ludicrous. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, I want to vote against it, but yet my town sent a letter to the city council supporting them. You know, that's like sending your playbook to the other team.
You know.
And so, you know, there's what's right and there's what the idiots, you know, that run town hall in Warsaw do. So
I think most of the towns sent that letter out support what was already in existence. You know, the extending the current agreement is what they meant.
Yes, I agree. Extend it and then take a couple of years and let's look at it. Let's get our ducks in a row.
That's correct.
This is a 5-year agreement, and I'll pass along the floor, but on the floor I might be a no on it.
Well,
because
okay,
it's not, you know, your town, my town, your town, they should all get more money.
Can I would like to just address this. I do it ad nauseum up in Boyceville. Some communities, Kingston, Woolworthing has had a more difficult time sometimes with safety net problems or expenses, Ulster, Saugerties to a degree. Now, I personally have always supported taking over the safety net. I know over the years Richie and Robbie did. In Olive, and I have it in these files by town, in Olive, we were paying about $35,000 a year in safety net costs. We did recognize that people came to Kingston or went somewhere else for services, but we did that because we support it because it's the right thing to do. Olive pays 6.7% of the county taxes. So, and Woodstock pays 7%, et cetera, et cetera. So the portion of the safety net, $5 million, I'll use that as a round figure, Olive taxpayers, it's off the town budget, Olive's taxpayers are now paying in the neighborhood of $330,000 towards this safety net. It's okay. But the city's like throwing us under the bus saying, well, if this thing goes bad someday, you're going to take the pounding for it. And I'm going, why? Why, if the Olive, if Marbletown, if Rosendale, if Hurley and other communities had an amount that they were contributing, I don't ever want to use the word bailout because that's not fair, because I think it should have been spread across everyone. Suddenly, we in Olive are almost paying what the city of Kingston does in safety net costs. I think they pay 7.5% or 7.6% of the safety net costs. So I'm a no, because they didn't, I mean, granted, I only sit here. They didn't talk to me and ask my opinion why the city would throw us under the bus and change it. I think I know why, because they're looking to get back at the towns for sticking together and saying, don't cut us.
They're broke.
And they manipulated this little convoluted thing in there that's, to me, like taking away the flu from somebody, because you're not going to get the flu today, but in 6 years or 5 years or 4 years, you don't need a flu vaccine. And if you get sick, well, then you get sick.
Well, I plan on not getting sick.
Pardon?
I plan on not getting sick.
I do my best not to.
Right. There's a resolution coming up about flu shots.
Yes.
Anyway, one of the things that surprised me, because I wasn't on the legislature when the last sales tax agreement was negotiated, is that the towns don't have any say. The legislature doesn't have any say. It's the Ways and Means Chairman, it's the County Executive's Office, it's the City of Kingston in the negotiation. We vote on it. That's what we say.
That's the final say.
No, okay. What I'm saying is, if that's the way it is, and I've read this, and the City of Kingston is okay with this, that was the only stumbling block into making an agreement. If this is what they can live with, then I am going to vote for it. Because if they can't see a downside to this. Now, I know
being who? The City of Kingston?
The City of Kingston, right.
Right, but that's, if I may, but that's not my point is the dopey-ass towns and villages don't see the downside or the power they have sticking together to say, hey, as a band of brothers, we want ours.
In other words, why did the city say, we'll take $1 million or less, but you go negotiate with the towns, we don't want to cut their potential harm. Well,
that's the nature of this negotiation, though. That's the nature of the negotiation. The towns only, like we said before, the towns only wanted the same agreement to continue.
Okay? And the city negotiated it away.
They didn't sit at the table. They didn't sit at the table.
Well, it could be a superior leadership.
They weren't going to get more money. The towns were not going to get
They didn't want more money.
Well, I don't know about that.
No,
but they weren't going to get
but
more
they were
money.
Afraid of what they were told, that if they pushed it,
then
they were next.
Then the county couldn't levy the sales tax, and the city could levy their own, and then they'd get all that they wanted. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is that only lasts like 6 months or something. So essentially, the towns were scared, so they said, "We'll go with you," instead of like doing their homework.
No, right.
So that's why I say I'm catch 22. Do I try to support the town that's not supporting itself, or do I just say, "Well, that's what they want," then that's the way you vote? But I think they could do better.
There's another way to look at it. I don't agree with your figures on the safety net. Kingston paid a lot of money in safety net.
I'll show you. Okay. I won't waste your time now, but every town in their percentage.
All right, but it was based on the number of occupants that lived in your town or city, and you were billed. The towns and the city of Kingston were billed appropriately for every single recipient. In there, so I can't see how Olive had more safety net recipients than Kingston.
No, it's got nothing to do with it.
This has nothing to do with it, Carl.
All right,
nothing.
No, the money that the town had to pay.
No,
was based.
They paid $30,000 when they were responsible for just Olive. When everybody shared in the cost and everybody in the county, it went way up.
Now it's pooled.
Now
so
it's
everybody
pooled.
Has a percentage.
So they're now paying for Worsing, for Saugerties, for Kingston. That had a much higher expense.
Yeah, right. They're not paying
so,
for anything.
Yes, they are.
On safety net costs?
Yes. Where do you think the money comes from?
The taxpayers, right, John?
The taxpayers.
Not the town itself.
The county's
property taxpayers have absorbed that cost.
That's right.
So Olive people used to pay $30 to the town. Now they're paying $330 to the county.
That's right.
So they're paying more.
I understand.
It's just your right pocket instead of your left pocket.
But you think...
That's the way...
I better put my money.
Anything goes
pocket.
when you take one and give to another.
It didn't in the past. The town of Olive's budget, the town of Olive taxpayers in their town budget, voted to pay $35,000, and they did it.
Right.
Now they took that out of the budget, but we're paying the county share where we didn't pay it before.
The town reduced their budget, but
okay,
correct.
Anyway,
so it,
my opinion, I just feel like the city, if this is okay with the city of Kingston, and they're the only negotiating municipality besides the county. I'm going to vote yes on it. Now, if the Common Council decides to vote no on this agreement, then we're back to square one.
I agree with you.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I'll vote yes to move it on.
Well, I'm voting no.
But I'm not sure where
so
I'm going to
do it. So I'll move the question.
I'll vote yes, but on the floor, I may be a no.
Right, if you want to poll everybody here, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
To move
four
it on.
To one.
Can I say something about this? As a taxpayer, I expected me paying more money would refund the taxpayer paying less money.
It did.
You paying more did.
Are we paying more? And the towns didn't give it back to the public.
That's right.
That's what I'm
saying.
Right.
Marble County got a raise 2 years in a row.
The Worsing town budget.
Saying, no taxpayer got a break because other taxpayers.
The Worsing town budget did not go down by the amount that was decreased from the safety net being taken over by the, and that was part of the aggravation. I'm trying to be polite here tonight.
Taxpayer, that's all my aggravation.
Are you?
I'm doing pretty. Okay.
All right. Let's pass that around. Thank you, everyone, for that. One of the things I've been thinking about doing with this committee, folks, where people bring things to us, whether it be yourselves, other legislators, or elected officials or people in the community, is things they'd like to look at, they question. So what I've been thinking about doing, and I didn't think it up. Hell, I went and read what they do in other places, Congress and there, and they assign different members an issue. Somebody brings an issue in.
Oops. Oh yeah. Go ahead.
And either we'll assign one, or somebody will volunteer because they have a personal interest in it. We'll try to work with the staff that we have, the folks. Maybe if we're still alive and well next year, we might get some assistance from some of the government student groups in the different schools to try to help do some research. But it's almost impossible for somebody to say, gee, I'd like to look into whatever, and then how do we do it?
Well, I think we should go from the newest down to the oldest.
Newest what?
The newest local laws. And down to the oldest. I'll give you an example. All right? January 1st is a good time for a local law to be effective, right, in the county or the state or wherever. And we had a local law last year. It was a high visibility law establishing a tobacco retail license and reducing youth exposure to tobacco. And I'm not questioning the effectiveness of it, but I want to know, is it being done? Are retail outlets registering with the county? Are the retail outlets that are within 1,000 feet of a school? Because I know there's a retail outlet in my town that's next to Bosie's. I guess I'd just like to get some kind of report. I mean, that's something that this committee is charged with, but we shouldn't have to do that. The legislature enacts a policy or a local law. We should periodically get some kind of updates
yes.
from the county executive's office of how it's
yes.
going. And maybe that needs to be just another policy.
But if you wanted to send a note,
yeah,
we can send a letter to the Commissioner
right,
of Health and the Executive yes. and saying we'd like to know.
Because this was a big,
how this is
one of the biggest laws last year that we passed. And
the dog tethering law? Has any dogs gotten, anybody been arrested yet?
No, tethering. Tethering.
Listen, I have a gripe with that thing because it was 1,000 feet in any direction. And nobody knows what 1,000 feet was. And if you remember the list of schools, there were 17. And there are actually 72 schools in Ulster County. And nobody knew, you know, you would have thought it's a zoning type thing, which I brought up and others agreed with. You'd notify the homeowners, the business owners within a district. Oh, no, you're for smoking. I never smoked a cigarette in my life. I don't give a rat's butt if they outlawed them. But to me, it was a feel-good
well,
piece
of legislation.
Well,
I didn't mean to bring up any
emotions. But we'll write a letter. We'll write a letter.
To see what kind of, you know, participation
okay.
we're getting in the
Would
county.
You make a note of that, Jay? Thank you.
And maybe put it on the agenda for next month?
That will be on the agenda for the next month, at least that we wrote the letter.
Okay.
And see if we get a response.
All right.
Because in that regard, we did write a letter to Mr. Ryder about, you know, this is a little low-hanging fruit stuff, but, you know, we did a visual audit of the machines out here, of the vending machines, which by resolution are supposed to be healthy. And a lot of it appeared not to be healthy. Mr. Ryder just wrote us back a letter that we got today. I believe you guys just got a copy of it, and I don't know how much you want to go into discussing it now. I only read it a few minutes ago, but it sort of says that maybe it's not his responsibility to have healthy vending, but ours to decide what is healthy vending. I don't know if I agree with that, but I don't want to debate that tonight.
My impression, and the only vending machine that I see is downstairs, and there are no green stickers on anything downstairs, at least there wasn't when I checked. He states in his letter that out of all the places that he looked at and the green stickers were there and boom, 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 that certain things were mislabeled, that Doritos actually is a healthy option, while Cashew Honey Almond Flax Bar is not because it's got peanuts in it. And then he states at the end of his letter, which actually is a very poignant remark, and he states that compliance issues were resolved in a timely manner by the vendor, but that the vendor is in compliance with the resolution, but he thinks that we should reconsider rescinding this local law for a more healthier vending machine option. Because there aren't, I mean, to me, eating a bag of Doritos doesn't seem like a healthy option, but according to the resolution, according to the local law, it is.
All the food groups.
So, I don't know. I haven't seen the green stickers. If I saw the green stickers, I'd know right away which ones, at least by county standards, were considered healthy options. I know downstairs, again, last time I looked, there weren't any green stickers. So you didn't know, by looking at the machine, there's maybe, 30 items? You have to scan to see which when you think it's healthy, but I don't know. He says that for the most part they've pretty much been in compliance. M&Ms were mislabeled and he fixed those, and Raisinets and Fritos. But he says 17 other items of green tags.
Where's my copy?
So I don't know where the green tags are.
I think by the price tag, but I don't know. I've never bought anything in a vending machine here.
Oh, they're right next to, like, the
so I have no idea.
The label, like, where it says, like, C1, C2.
Oh, downstairs there's a little green tag. Oh,
yeah, right,
you know what?
Right where it says how much it is, I think it's right there. I don't know. I've never bought anything in a vending machine here. So.
I've never looked at one of them, but I will I'll read this a little bit more thoroughly and
can we
come up with something for the next
week? Put it on for next week,
yeah.
Next month? Then?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I always thought healthy options would be like, if we get like a refrigerated unit, I mean, they're electric, apples or bananas or, you know, some kind of fruit or
can you
or
do them?
Vegetables.
Perishables?
Instead of processed foods, because they're all processed foods in that machine. Yeah. Healthy, hardly any healthy
you
options.
Know what?
And we're either going to offer healthy options or we're not.
Okay, another correspondence that we sent out to the Commissioner of Finance in response or relating to Resolution 130 that the legislature passed concerning remunerations to the towns that had spent money on Hurricane Irene and Hurricane Floyd. Carl, you and I sent that letter out.
Yep.
And we got an answer today. We got an answer today that I find rather interesting, to say the least. It says, if you want to read on it, second paragraph, with regard to that resolution, it specifically states resolved that no county money shall be paid to the indicated towns until a memorandum of receipt signed by the supervisor of the indicated towns providing for the Ulster County's full reimbursement in the event the indicated town receive flood remediation monies from the state of New York. Now, I've asked the folks that work here, and under never before have they, when there's been a resolution sent to the executive, have they had to reach out to the towns for anything in particular. This was something that the town was going to be working, the county working with the towns to get all their documents, and they just as easily could have said, you haven't gotten any money yet, have you? Send us a letter to that effect. So, being a little bit of a wise guy.
Yeah, I would say.
You were, Bert.
Unbelievable, huh?
Not me.
I'm just kidding.
Not me, I'm saying it, though.
I know.
One thing I don't understand, though, is that they don't have the money. The county's expecting some kind of memorandum from them stating that.
Mr. Supervisor, we did not receive any money from the state for reimbursement to the $22,000.
Right. Yes, okay.
That's what it is.
Okay.
Now, they've been in contact with them to get all their documentation.
Right. But that's on that's on another level. They not. If they didn't receive their money by, what was it, June?
First.
The county is going to front them the money and then
to what?
The money goes back to the county.
Tell them how much each time you get.
I also
want me to count
that's
on
it. That's what it's.
I also think that part of this whole Hurricane Irene, the towns were put on notice of what action they had to take, and they just haven't done it.
No. A lot of them had. The county never told them what needed to be done, like in terms of the minority businesses. The towns reached out to the county. The county never got them the information. The state sent the information to the counties, and the counties never passed it on to the towns.
Okay.
So, and some of the towns met the compliance, but since the state didn't do their end with the paperwork.
That's the Denning situation.
That's Denning in particular.
Okay.
Because
Denning
they asked
perfect,
us, TJ.
But the county screwed up at the state.
Jay, in particular, worked it through every single step.
So what can we do as
well,
we discuss
the supervisors
it?
Have to call them.
It's pretty easy for me, or I'll talk to Victoria, to say, hey, did you guys get anything from the state yet for the monies in here? Denning, $25,000. Hardenburg, $15,000. Lloyd, 26, Saugerties, 22, Shandaken, 28, and the town of Ulster, 9,600. Have you gotten anything? Yes.
Can I make a comment? I don't know if you remember, but there was another resolution the night when the executive agreed to pay all the towns, and it was if its money's not paid by June 1st, then the county would write. If the reimbursement wasn't in from the state by June 1st, the county would pay the money.
Yes.
And the legislators said, well, you don't have to do that because Mike already said, the executive said they're going to pay the towns. So it's pretty, to me, from this letter, looks pretty clear that towns aren't going to be getting paid in a timely fashion. And the idea to have them paid in June was so they could help prepare them for their budgets that they're starting to get ready for, you know, to release in September and October. So now it's going to be, is it going to be uncertain? I don't know. I mean, is the money going to come to them?
Listen, it's up to us as legislators.
Is the money going to go to them?
Because it was pretty evident yeah. at that public hearing that they didn't know what the hell they were doing.
Right. I mean, so, Bob Sutlow didn't, he was...
Were you there?
Stuttering. He didn't know what
okay.
he was.
No, I refused to go because if I won, you know, lies, I'd go to a town board meeting.
Yeah. So. They couldn't answer questions. Let's put it that way.
No, I knew they were going to lie through their teeth, so I couldn't submit
okay.
myself to
Well,
that.
The county executive's office, or rather, Bert Golnick does say the county executive's taking a proactive approach.
Proactive. That's the word of the week.
Has directed me to reach out to communicate.
Isn't that proactive? Why didn't they do it the day after the resolution was passed?
Right.
That's being proactive. It was a month and a half ago.
Yes, manager.
All right, so do we wait for Bert to reach out to the town?
We should pass the June 1st one.
Just, or do we just inform
I will
the
send
legislators
them a copy
in each of
this
these
letter.
Districts to have them contact the towns themselves and get them to send a memorandum to the county saying they didn't get the money?
One of the.
I mean, my town's not on here. I mean, I definitely would. If somebody asked me to contact
right.
a town, Hardenburg, I would contact them. But I think that it's
right.
a legislator's purview. Whoever yep. you know, that they should.
I think you're right, and I'll get in touch with everybody, and we can send a note out from here saying yes, sure. manager.
Just do double duty.
Again, I, you know, I tend to go to the Association of Towns meetings just so I can hear what the towns are thinking. And I will be going tomorrow, so if there's communication I could bring, I would be glad to. I know you start.
I may try to come, but it'd be
take
fine.
This.
We'll take the letter and take the
take
resolution.
The letter.
Take the letter.
Okay. And the resolution. Okay.
Yeah.
I've marked up on
Dave,
that.
Dave, your
sure
your
you
thing was passed.
The resolution is in the
on the in particular sales tax thing.
And thanks for the envelope. I appreciate that.
4-1. As amended.
As amended, okay.
As amended.
All right.
Okay.
Yep. Well, I actually did want to take the parks out of that, but...
That discussion's over. We voted.
Yeah.
Next?
No. Yeah, come on.
Yes.
Okay. Where's my agenda? Right here.
Okay.
I think that's the accounts. They're going
to pass. Memo from... Okay, new business. Anyone got any new business they want to bring up?
I do.
Who does? Oh, Manager Joe.
Yes. I would like to just share this, and in particular with TJ, because you're on laws and rules. I mean, law enforcement and public safety. And this comes to me by way of the New York Civil Liberties Union.
Can I get one
more? Just,
do you have an extra
sure,
note?
Sure. For our consideration. And... It's asking that the state provide the funding under the mandatory Harrell-Harding settlement or requirements for legal defense for indigent people. And that would take the pressure off of the counties and... I just want us to look it over and consider it. It was passed by the New York State Association of Counties. They have asked me to sponsor it, but I wanted to kind of get some feedback before. On the other hand, we don't want to wait too long because the session tends to end quickly. So I thought we might look this over and then consider it in June.
Fine. And this, and before, until I read it over, this is about public defender type situations.
Exactly, but
well,
specifically there was an increase in the allocation for indigent legal services.
You can't do enough for people that have problems and can't afford it. They have to get more than adequate representation. They got to get good representation.
So 52 counties need increased funding. And the resolved is that this come from the state.
So it is one pocket or the other, but the entire NYSAC body passed it, and then the New York Civil Liberties Union contacted me and asked me if I would bring it to people's attention. So.
Well, let us know what you want to do next month. You want to make a presentation? Because I'm really a believer in that.
And where is this in particular?
Mr. Chairman, just on that matter, it's several years ago. It's a little dated now, but we did a report on 18B on assigned counsel. And it is a huge sum of money that we currently pay. And we're strong advocates of seeing the state share or at least pick up the tab of any increase of that.
Would you be able to give us an idea of what this actually means in terms of dollars and cents for us?
I could base it on the numbers that we ran. And that report's online on our website, too.
All right, thank you. I just, you know...
Is that through our public defender's office?
Well, yeah. It's conflict. It's conflict defense as well. In other words, if I'm a family and I can't afford counsel and I go into family court, for example, so there's the father, there's the mother, and there's the child. All three need representation, and all three who cannot afford counsel are provided counsel. One maybe through our public defender's office, but the other two. Because we can't go to the public defender, we hire an outside attorney because it's a conflict. And this money just keeps adding up.
Carl?
Well, I've just got to play the devil's advocate. Because last budget cycle, I put in a budget amendment for $200,000 for two lawyers for the legal services of the Hudson Valley.
And I supported that.
That might be a little
and
different, though.
I voted.
So
it is
would just
different,
find it,
but it's still important.
Well, I would find it hard to have the legislature vote yes on asking the state for more money when we could have done something here right in the county. And,
yes,
by the
sir.
Way, we took that $200,000, knocked it down to $100,000, and gave it to the Office of the Aging to narrowly support seniors in their... which I'd like to see a report on how many seniors we've helped.
Well, then, write that down.
Because I want to tell you something. I didn't realize I had direct dealings with
how many
this
seniors?
Firm, this Legal Services of the Hudson Valley.
Use that
2
money.
Years ago, a woman
legal
in my
society.
Neighborhood
legal
was
services?
Losing her
so
house because
about.
She got
when we wanted to do legal aid,
laid off.
And they wanted
she just bought the house,
and they
2
narrowed
months
it
after
to 100 and
laid
gave
off.
It to...
Well,
mm-hmm. Office for the Aging.
Through RUPCO.
Let's see how many seniors
RUPCO contracted the Legal Services of the Hudson Valley to starve off her mortgage for a year until she got back on her feet. And she came back and told me that, and she said she was so thankful because I got her the number of RUPCO, and RUPCO said that they could do that for her, and they used legal services. I think we need more of that because that's more cost-effective because that's a pro bono that they do for these people. They get other funding. They were looking for funding for two more lawyers. It wasn't that the county pays them every time we send them somebody.
Dave?
Yeah, but I agree with you, Carl, and I think we should have funded that. As you know, I voted to fund that also. That's a very important program, but this is totally different, though. This is about, you know, that's for civil cases, or this is about, you know, criminal cases. That's for, like, somebody that's got, like you said, they can't pay their mortgage, or they need somebody to represent them before a bank.
Right.
They need them to do... certain legal
all,
work for them that
you
can
know,
save
yeah.
them.
All right, never mind.
And if,
but it is different. And we do have, like when what Elliot was talking about, when we go to somebody else, we actually have an agreement with Dutchess County on that. So in other words, contract.
Well, that was supposed to save a lot of money, but are they getting represented?
It probably saves money because the Dutchess one represents for us, and then we represent for the Dutchess one, so it's...
Carl, if five people...
But you still run into...
Do a crime.
Still run into
a problem. Say five 19-year-old kids get arrested robbing a store, and they don't have money, their families don't have money, so they get county public defender. The county can only defend one of them. Then the second one goes to a assigned counsel. The third one goes to and they're making, you know, it's $65 an
that's
hour.
That's the conflict counsel.
That's where the costs come up because the county can't, even though all five don't have the resources to hire attorneys, the county can't defend all five. They can only defend one. So that's
two utes, one lawyer.
Okay.
So we'll look at it.
Yes, sir.
Many years ago, the Criminal Justice Council tried to get sharing with Dutchess, where they would take over some of the assigned counsel.
We are doing that now.
No, no, no. They turned it down. The state made it 20 quid.
Is that right?
Yeah. The state put the squash on it.
I didn't know that.
The DA can do it, you know, by getting another DA when there's a conflict of interest.
Conflict of interest.
But,
I thought they did that. I thought that was done 5 years ago. Just make a note of that.
Well, we wanted we'll 5 years ago, but the state put the kibosh on it.
All right, listen, I know we got to get moving because these guys got another meeting. There was, I was asked, and we can save this for the next time, but I was asked to look into the electric charging stations. I read the controller's report. I know how I feel about it. And I have read some of the numbers that if they're accurate, which I believe they are, we had two absolutely standing opinions that you can't give anything away, the county. And the county attorney said very clearly that in a narrow area like tourism, that would be okay. Well, according to what I read, 50, 60, 70% of the stuff is being used by local people.
75.
And I know that one of the other legislators tried to get the list of the names of the people, and they're told it's privileged. Well, you know, the state of New York sells names to people in business so they can solicit their tourist dollars. And I don't want to, I know everybody's got a meeting to go to, and we did quite a bit today with these two proposals. We had some discussions. Yes, Rich, I'm sorry.
I had, for like 10 years, the county had made the brochures for the Rhinebeck Growers Association. They'd make 500 copies that they would leave at the local stores from Hurley to
Roundout what?
Growers Association, nonprofit. For like I said, for 8 or 10 years, the county would make them, and then about 2 years ago, Bea got involved, and she said the county can give nothing away for free. It was illegal, weren't supposed to be done, so she stopped purchasing from allowing us to do it. So I think it's funny that she says in a limited case for tourism, it can be done.
No, it can't.
And the Rondell Growers Association, you know, with the can't. Kelders Farm, wait, that's tourism. And so.
Didn't the Ulster County Chamber of Commerce come up and pay the bill?
Supposedly, but it's
yeah, but you know what? I asked if I, and it's the truth, I asked, can I just pay it? Give me a cost to make 500 copies of a stupid brochure like this. And he said it couldn't be done. No.
Right.
Because I was going to volunteer and pay for it from him through the county.
Yeah, you can't.
It can't be done. So why can the Chamber of Commerce give the county money for it, but yet
math.
I can't.
It's new math.
Right.
It's new math. Well, you know, one of my problems with the Chamber of Commerce, they roll over and play dead for something like this, but for homeless kids in high schools and low-income housing and maybe the heroin epidemic, I don't hear a damn word from them. But, oh, yeah, we'll give you $1,000. We don't know who they are or whatever. And it's supposed to be for tourists. I think it was a red herring. I think it was untrue. But now, if most of the folks are using it or have a 1240 whatever zip code is in Ulster County, then we got a problem. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say that everyone knows I use it. I would be more than glad to pay for it if all I was paying for was the actual cost of using it. What I'm concerned about is that the company that processes this will charge a fee that will be equal to or greater than the 47 cents worth of electricity. And that's not helping anybody. That's not cost effective.
Well, just the way I read the agreement, the company would charge the user whatever the county decided. So, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think that was part of the company that monitors the use.
I know ChargePoint would, I think they would tack on a service fee. But
yeah, it's the service fee that I'm concerned about.
I don't have the contract in front. I thought there was
And it's very easy to do the calculation, and if the county were to send me a bill, I did the calculation for last year when I got your report. But I would be so glad to pay it.
But yeah, I understand that. But when I go home tonight and I fill up my truck, I pay a service fee. There's a cost. That gallon of gas, that's $2.17. Well, I'll bet you there's 20 or 30 cents a gallon in there. Delivery charge, service fee, running
the
tank.
Debit card.
My point is, there's a service fee with everything. You want to? I just want to pay for the gas. That might be $1.50, but I get to pay the rest of the money because of all the parts that are added onto that. That whatever. So, you know, you get free electric.
Yeah.
To put in your car, that I think is wrong, and if you could pay for it, fine. But you should also pay the service fee. Pay the rest of the story, like anybody that fuels a vehicle pays the rest of the story when they pump out of that nozzle. There's fees associated with that other than the strict cost of the gasoline or diesel or whatever you may be running.
Well, I think the thing is what the service fee is, obviously. If they're charging you $5 for a service fee for, right, you know, getting, right, you know, 47
cents. I think it was like $1.25 or, yeah, it was more than the cost of the electric.
Right. Elliot, we can report the whole service fee structure back to the committee.
I have something that I'm hoping that you bring up at some point or another. We privatized mental health a while ago, and I'm getting people that I've talked to and that are concerned with that there's not programs. In fact, we had a guy speak, was it last month? The guy that used to be
Bob
the
Boston.
Bob, yes. He talked about the idea where he used to be able to send kids to. He used to be able to send.
Tell me out.
He used to be able to send people.
Not with him.
She said it was
a. Oh, not with him.
Anyway, he used to be able to send people to programs instead of sending them to jail. And he said he doesn't really have those programs, are not there anymore. I've had conversations with Jeremy Wilbur from Woodstock. A couple other people have talked to me about it, that, you know, there is no mental health programs. And since we privatized it, I don't know if that's the case. I am fortunate enough that I'm not involved in that at end of things. I'm fortunate that I don't have somebody that needs that, so I don't know personally.
All right,
but I know very well. I mean, there's many people that do.
Can we analyze it? I mean, is that something this committee should be able to do?
Yes. So, well, you know what? Move to John. Well, here's the question.
The question.
What services were provided? Well, what were the numbers of people serviced before? What are the number of people serviced today?
What? But I'd rather have a question and get an answer.
Okay. Here's the.
The question is, from Bob Vosper, whomever, you know, I used to send 10 kids a year to the white paper program, and there is no more white paper program or any program similar to that. What do we do? Fine, I'll find you an answer. I don't, the chasing your tail of, well, there's no program to send any kids to, so you go find me the programs. No, you give me the problem and then let me try to find the answer.
Okay, one of the things that I have been getting ragged on to a certain degree is from my son Robert, because a few years ago this legislature passed a local law to work with the health department and the mental health department in conjunction with the schools to identify kids of need. In particular, I think Robbie saw this heroin thing coming on, and there's weaknesses in there, and the school said, we won't cooperate with you on advice of counsel. In other words, we don't want, if we name you and you as a potential problem but miss him, then I'm going to get sued. So there's nothing being done. There's a local law in existence today that was passed by the legislature to work with the mental health and the health department and the schools or somebody. Now, if the school said they won't cooperate, is the health department or the mental health department reaching out to other avenues?
And John, again, we go back to what we said earlier. Do we have the cart before the horse?
Do I have what?
The cart before the horse. We pass a law that says that A, B, and C have to work together.
Mm-hmm.
So we pass a law. To A and B, that might be fine. But to C, we can't.
So it's a useless law then.
Exactly. We can't dictate the schools to do that. And I can tell you, the people I know in my school and in my school board, they tell you you're out of your mind. They're not.
Other schools, other school boards would want to do it.
Maybe. But my point is, we pass laws, we're passing a law dictating that you do something. And you have a right to say no.
It's my belief and Robbie's belief, right or wrong, that they wanted to be involved and they were told not to be involved.
And the schools, I can tell you, my school didn't like it. My superintendent knew it. Nobody ever did any research with the school superintendents in the area to find out if they would be willing to cooperate or not. We passed essentially a feel-good law, and a lot of the superintendents said,
"Then let's repeal it." Then, and that's what this is all about. If it's no longer worthless,
I agree.
Then let's get rid of it.
Fine.
That's what you know, and it's the same with other departments that are funded, not necessarily a law, but how many people are being served by the mobile mental health van. If it's a lot, great. If it's enough, wonderful. If it's nothing, what are we doing? I agree that all those things are part of our society and we got to look into it.
Well, maybe the question should be, are the services that were offered now through the county's contract agencies for mental health, are there more, the same, or less services than before we
privatized? That's a question.
I know of a program that a couple of my constituents were in. It was called SPOA.
Are the services?
And it was
that used to be
they were meeting at mental health.
That's what I remember.
And now I think they meet on Aaron Court in the Mental Health Association of Ulster County's offices. The county must be contracting with them. So we don't know where everything is going. We know that Astor took our children's mental health. I don't know what we call that. But maybe that's what we need to do. If we're at the same level as we were before privatization or lower.
Or higher.
We might have more programs.
Give me instances where it didn't work or that you're missing.
I don't know.
You know, just
well, that's why I think maybe you can call a couple of those people in here to talk to us.
Well,
what do they got? Where they see the problem? What is the problem that they have?
I mean, or if 1,000 people were being serviced before and 300 are being serviced now, then we
Or if it's vice versa, it's wonderful.
It's not necessarily
the problem. It's documented. I mean, you know very well that we often hear that, we're going to privatize this and everything's much better now. Everything's working much better now.
Right, and I also hear, because it's privatized or John Parity is running it, nothing works. Okay, well then tell me what the nothing is.
Right. You know, can I tell you something, Tom?
But I'm just getting, I
just want to know what the nothing is, and then I'll...
Can I
say something?
Yeah.
Well, I remember when we were going through the process of privatizing the mental health, Ken Cornell came into the meeting, I was on the committee, and he said, no handouts, no nothing. By going to privatizing it and this firm down in Highland was going to offer more enhanced services. They were going to be able to do different things than the county was able to do. I specifically said to him, can you give us a list of everything the county does right now and a list of everything these new organizations are going to do so we can see they're going to be better, they're going to be enhanced. Never got it. You know why? Because it sounded good at the time, and it was a great soundbite, and unfortunately the legislators didn't hold them accountable. And it also happened, remember, we found out 3 days before the last vote of the year, it wasn't something that had gone through the budget cycle. Mm-hmm. So it was, at the end of the day, it was the legislators' fault because the legislators voted to allow it to happen. But they wouldn't put it in writing, because then you're held accountable when you put it in writing.
For the good of the order,
I'll move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you very much. All in favor?
Aye.
And we'll be sending notes out more and.